Turn to chapter 7 in the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. You'll notice that chapters 5, 6, and 7 in your Bibles are all red letters if you have a red letter Bible. Red letter Bibles means Jesus is talking. God is talking. These are not hints or these are not suggestions. This is messages coming straight from deity, okay? God's got a message for us, and we find it strongly in the Sermon on the Mount. The longest sermon in the Bible, and the one most profitable for us to gain understanding of how to live our lives. Verse 12 of chapter 7 is where I'm going to end up, so I thought I might as well start out with it. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Treat every person the way you want them to treat you. That's a big word, guys. Treat them the way you want them to treat you. Now, we're going to break that down a little bit in a few minutes. You know, Jesus gave the great commandment, and he also gave us the great commission. We see both of those in Matthew. The great commission is in chapter 28. And we've already been in the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength here in the Sermon on the Mount. The whole Sermon on the Mount relates to those two statements. Those two relate to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And so now when we get here to chapter 7, there's a marked turn between the first two chapters or the first comments in the Sermon on the Mount and what we're going to see in chapter 7. Chapter 7 is going to take you into applying what was found in chapters 5 and 6 or what we've seen in the last few Sundays on as we looked at the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus has used the Sermon on the Mount to teach and to explain differences between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the realities of the new coming kingdom. And so there's a transition. There's something hopeful in what Jesus has to say to these guys. And that's what's exciting about the Sermon on the Mount. The people were listening to what he had to say, and they were thinking, this guy's teaching differently than what I've ever heard before. This guy seems to be speaking with authority. And you know, it's beginning to make sense to me, all these rules and regulations I've been following all my life. See, these are all Jews he's talking to. He's talking to a whole congregation of Jews. And he knows that. And he knows what laws they've been under and how they've had to live their lives and everything that they've had to. So now he's saying, okay, let's shake it up a little bit. You've heard it said of old, let me tell you something new. You've heard it said of old, but let me show you what was intended by what the law has to say. The law's good, and it can be fulfilled. And right here in verse 12, you see how it's going to be fulfilled. In everything, guys, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. So what's the law and the prophets? Treating people the way you want to be treated. So now we have to break that down and see what he's going to say about getting to verse 12 as we begin in verse 1. So if you run through life blindly, you're going to miss the message of what life's all about. If you just kind of keep steamrolling through and just every now and then pick up a truth here and a truth there, you apply to your life a little bit about what your mom told you to do, what your grandma told you to do, what your teachers told you to do in the classroom. But if you just kind of run through life, you don't really grab hold of what the intent of life is all about. It's kind of like those who daydream at the light when the light turns green, and you're the one sitting behind them. And the light's green, there's three or four people behind you, and the guy in front of you is not going. So what do? You yell and you scream and you honk. Finally, they wake up and they go. Now, for some reason, they were daydreaming. Who knows what it is? But it's almost like that person who's got their eyes on their phone and are walking down and looking at their phone for whatever reason, and they run into a telephone pole. Why? They weren't looking where they're going. That's kind of like we are as we go through life. We don't know what we're looking for. Until we bounce into it and it wakes us up and says, oh, I got to get going. Well, I'm hoping that the Sermon on the Mount does that kind of message to us. It bumps us and says, hey, I got to get going. I've not been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Jesus tells me this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not doing it. So I'm going to start doing it. Have you hit the telephone pole yet? I've hit it a couple times in the sermon, putting the sermon together. It fascinates me. You keep reading the same thing that you've read all your life. All of a sudden, brand new stuff comes out. It's kind of like this Bible's alive or something, you know? It's like it's a living word. It's not like a written word. It's kind of like it speaks to your heart when you read it. And it has deep meaning, really, really deep meaning. And that's what we've got to hold on to, is this deep meaning. We have to get to the point where we love the Word of God. Not that we just like the Bible, but it's a part of us. It's living inside us. But Jesus is beginning to explain that to the people. They're out there in the crowd. They're hearing what he has to say about the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, it's brand new news to them. And they get all excited about it. And they say, I've never heard anything like this before. Have you? I've never heard anything like this before. Have you? And they're just mumbling along themselves, but they're excited. Now they want to follow him everywhere he goes. He has no place to hide because they want to hear more. They want to hear more. He's got some truth that they've not heard from any of the scribes or Pharisees, never at any of their synagogue meetings. This is kind of like the guys that heard 500 years ago when Isaiah was talking or Micah was talking. It's like, this guy's a prophet. He's taking straight from God and giving it to us. We've got to do something about this. So Jesus is saying to stop the fretting and start rethinking about how grace and mercy applies to your life. Because if you look at your neighbor and you start living the life the way you're supposed to, they'll start treating you the way you're supposed to, and that's how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be a relational thing between people. You see, that's what love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength is, and you're loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the way it's supposed to work. Well, why does it work that way? Because sometimes we love our neighbors and they don't love us back. And we don't like that at all, do we? So Jesus is saying that the effort you and I take to in trying to walk around and looking back over our shoulders at people who've done us wrong, and we're carrying some real issues with those people who've done us wrong, and we've not let those issues go, we keep carrying them around on our back, and we're carrying them through life. They probably don't even know the negative feelings that I have towards them because they're just carrying it. You're carrying it, they've let it go, and you're still carrying issues. Issues that you've had with your parents who are now dead, or your next door neighbor who's now moved. Jesus establishes how we are to be judged under the law and the prophets. We establish our own rule of conduct by which we are judged. Did you know that? You and I establish our own rule of conduct on how we're going to be judged, not only by other people, but by our Father in heaven. We establish how we're going to be judged. Isn't that fascinating? In other words, you're not going to have any excuse when you stand before the throne of God. Why? Because you are going to be judged by how you live your life here on earth. Let's turn to chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. They will trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Do you understand that? Are you an inspector? Inspector. Get the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Inspector of other people's specks. How are you judged by those people around you? Are you judged harshly? Do people look down on you? How do you gather in your heart a relational place in your life? Well, normally, you and I, we get along with some people, don't we? Our family, hopefully. Our closest friends, maybe. But there's usually some church people we can at least get along with. Should be that way. Well, as we get along with those people, if they get along with us, we have a reciprocal relationship. But what about the people we don't get along with? Why don't we get along with some people? Is it their fault or our fault? It's normally both of you. It's my fault and their fault. Why? Because they turned me off, and so I turned them off. Or I turned them off, so they turned me off. You know, Jesus said that that's almost like killing people. Cut them out of your lives. But see, we are in charge. We have to be very careful that we don't judge people too quickly. And we oftentimes cut people out of our lives. So how are you judged by the people around you? Do you have some enemies? Why are they your enemies? How are you judged by the people that are around you? You know, sometimes that can be scary. When you start thinking about it, you know, I look at myself and I'm saying, uh-oh, people see me as mean or intolerant or angry. I've had people think that I'm angry when I'm not angry at all. I'm thinking, why do they think I'm angry? I mean, do I come across as angry? You know, sometimes people feel I'm unapproachable. I don't think I know of anybody that's more approachable than me. But people think that. So what's going on there? They're judging me or prejudging me. Or I'm judging them and they're prejudging. I'm prejudging them. What does prejudging mean? It's prejudice. Okay, that's prejudge. It's prejudice. And we prejudice, we turn ourselves off with each other. And we destroy what could be wonderful relationships. So how are people judging you right now? It's more than likely has to do with what's going on inside your heart. And if you get a new heart, then you can get rid of some of those prejudices. And you can stop prejudging each other. And what's one of the biggest mean things? Where do we get some of our biggest prejudices from? And it comes from religion. Religion can be a wonderful thing, but it can also be a very bad thing. It's almost like we get a holier-than-thou attitude, and then we condescend to people. And even sometimes when we don't condescend to people, they think we're condescending to them. Why? Because we have faith. And they think, oh my goodness, I don't have anything in common with that person. And so we start judging. Now, you also get prejudices from lots of other places, don't you? You get it from peer relationships, you get it from teaching, you get it from society and cultural standards. You can look at a person that has got lots of tattoos, for instance, and you can prejudge them that they're bad people. Why? Because of amore that somehow growing up you had about people with tattoos. Well, I'm finding people with tattoos are colorful people. Sometimes they're more colorful than I am. They're a lot more colorful than I am. And sometimes people with pink hair. Sometimes we prejudge people because they wear a business suit. And we think, oh my, they're not reachable. I don't relate to that person. They've got money or they've got a standard. Sometimes we walk into the mall and there's somebody there that's dressed up with a long dress all the way down to their knees or their ankles, I mean, and they have their hair cropped up into a bun behind their heads, and all of a sudden we prejudge them. That's a very religious person. That person, you know, doesn't want anything to do with me. Well, sometimes they're pretty nice people, guys. People are people. We're all people. We don't want to fall into those categories. Jesus is saying, let me tell you what the law and the prophets is all about. You need to do to them as you would have them do to you, no matter what they're coming from, no matter what their standard, no matter even what their religion is. They may be Muslim, they may be Arab, they may be atheist. Treat them like you want them to treat you. You hear me? Treat them nicely, because that's the only way they're going to hear or even see or feel the good news, is for you to treat them the way you want to be treated. It's not a hard law to grasp. So Matthew 7, verse 4 says, "For how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log that is in your own? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." That's what Jesus is getting at here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He says in verse 1, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measurement, it will be measured to you. Now notice this, is by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Now that's verses 1 and 2. Now jump down to 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now jump down to verse 12, the verse for the day. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, what we're seeing here is the weight of judgment is on our shoulders, and the weight is very, very heavy. And if you're carrying that weight, you need to let it go. It's called grace. You need to take the weight of your sin and lay it before the throne. You don't clean yourself up and then go before God. You go right now with that full weight that's on your shoulders, and you bow before him and say, God, I can't carry this anymore. I can't get rid of it. I don't know how to get rid of it. I give it to you. And then when you do that, a scary verse, which Jesus is leading up to, which we're going to get into next Sunday service, is verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, is going to get in, but him who does the will of my Father. So now let's take a look at those three scriptures. What do they have in common? First one is you're going to be judged by the way you're judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Second is everyone who asks will receive, and he who does knock will find, and it will be open to him. And then number three, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, because that's the law and the prophets. So the common thread that flows through them is that you're in charge. You're in charge. You're going to be judged the way you're judged. And if you ask, you're going to receive. But if you don't ask, you're not going to receive. And thirdly, the law and the prophets is fulfilled by how you treat people. These are all action verses for you and I to do something in the kingdom of God. Not just to be, but to do. That's what the whole book of James is really pounding down on top of our heads. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to do the word of God. That's part of the inspecting of each other and the loving each other and to encourage each other. When you bump into each other, the first thing you need to do is say, God, do you have an encouraging word for this person? Can I encourage them somehow? But what do we usually do? Criticize. Sometimes behind people's back. We got to get beyond that so that we can see what we're doing. And so he gives us, do you see what the three verses have in common? How do they specifically apply to your life right now? Hopefully, in your life, you're not at that point where you're just prejudging prejudices with other people. That you've learned that all people are people. All people are people. And we all have the same beginning point. We're all sinners. So don't expect them to be cleaned up. All people are people, and every one of them are sinners. Just like you. And so therefore, we need to receive them into our hearts as potential believers. And so we want to treat them like we want to be treated. We want to reach out to them the way we want to be reached out to. We want to encourage them just like we need encouragement in our own lives. And so that's the golden rule. If you were going to hold a ruler up to your life to measure how well you're treating people, how well is the measurement going to be? Well, I can tell you this. You probably are going to use a standard to measure. And what is the standard you're going to use? Probably somebody you know. Let me tell you the standard you need to use to measure. The standard is Jesus Christ. When you hold up your life to the standard of Jesus Christ, to measure your life by His standard, by who He is, and the example He set for us, you're not going to measure up very well. And you've got a lot of growth to do here. So how are you going to get there? Well, that's why He gave us that verse, to ask, to seek, and to knock. He puts it all right in there. He builds you all up and tells you you're a mess, and you're going to be judged by just the way you judge everybody else, and you're judging other people with a harsh standard. Now He's going to say, stop it. Let go. Don't judge other people with harsh standards. Parents, listen up. When you do that to your kids, you destroy them. They're not going to be perfect. Guess what? You weren't either. And you're not going to be. And they're not going to be. And they're going to fall on their faces, just like you fell on your face. Don't judge your employer with a harsh standard. Hold up the measure of Jesus Christ to your own life. And that's the way you want to be treated, the way He treated you. And how did Jesus treat you? He loved you and He forgave you fully. And that's the standard you want other people to love you, to accept you fully. So how are you going to get there? You have to treat them that way. You have to love them fully. You have to forgive them fully. We get caught up in this golden rule just like it's some kind of something we teach our kids, but they don't understand any more than we do. Until we understand that the standard of measurement is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not my idea of perfection, and it's certainly not the law of the Old Testament, because you're not going to stand up to that at all. So you need to hold up to that standard. And then he goes a little bit further. He starts talking about those who don't fit into that standard. No, it's not really that they don't stand in there. He talks to people who are against that standard. And that's what he says in number 4. Do not give what is holy to dogs. And do not throw your pearls before swine. Now, when I looked at that, I'm thinking, what's he saying here? Because he just talked about accepting everybody. Now he's telling us not to accept everybody. Is that what he's doing? No, he's talking about the proclamation of the good news. And I remember when he taught this to his disciples, he sent them out 2 by 2 everywhere. He said, go into the town, share the good news. If you find somebody that will accept you, just stay at their house. They'll let you. You don't even need to take a purse or money with you because it's going to work out okay. But if you come to somebody that refuses to hear the good news, get out, kick the dust off the heels, and go on. Don't waste your time with people who will not listen. Doesn't mean you hate them. It means that you don't spend and waste your time. Why? Because there's so many people out there in the field that's white for harvest that will listen. And that's where you need to put your energy. So somebody, you come up across somebody that's not accepting of you because of your faith, it's okay. Don't take it personally. They're not offended because of you. They're offended because of the Jesus inside you. And there's nothing you can do about that. Because somewhere along the line, they've already gotten offended. And if you make them even madder, you push them even further away. So listen to your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. When you come across someone who has no faith whatsoever, turn and say, I just want you to know, if you ever do want to know, I'm available. And then go on to the next person. And then the next person, and then the next person. But don't spend your time with the people. Now, to Jesus, the dogs are pretty evident in the New Testament. You know who the dogs were to Jesus? These were the scribes and the Pharisees. These were the religious people. So, the scribes and the Pharisees, religion. Why is religion the dogs? Why did he treat the scribes and the Pharisees, wonderful, powerful people who spent their whole time trying to do their best to live for God? No, they weren't. They were doing their best to try to live for the religion. Religion gets in the way sometimes. Because we try to live up to a standard of measurement. And that's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. Let's take the Ten Commandments and hold the people to it so that they can live by the standard of the Ten Commandments. Jesus comes along and says, yep, you need to do that, but let me tell you what that means. You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not kill. But I'm telling you that if you hate in your heart, you've murdered. You've heard it said of old, you shouldn't commit adultery. But I'm saying to you that if you've lusted in your mind after another male or female, you've committed adultery. He even took it to go with wealth. If you put your passion into your pocketbook and not into him, you've committed adultery with God. What's he mean by that? You see, you're married to God when you accept Christ as your Savior. But you can't have two masters. You either live for yourself or you live for God. And living for yourself means you're going to grab all you can get while you're in this life. Living for God means you're going to give away all you can while you're living in this life. Give away. I didn't grow up with that standard. Some of you didn't either. So you have to change your heart. You have to lay before God and say, okay, God, I'm asking. I'm going to seek to find out the life that you want me to live. I want to seek to live after the measurement of Christ. And if you'll help me, Lord, I'll do it. So ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For he who asks will receive. So how are you going to get there? You got to ask. Another action word. So that takes us now all the way down to verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you would want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Verse 12. Now this law, which tells us that Jesus wants us to, how he wants us to live, is the second half of the Great Commission. Ephesians calls this the law of love. James labels this the law of liberty. Isn't that good? This law, which tells us how Jesus wants us to live, it's the second half of the Great Commission, and it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That half. Ephesians calls it the law of liberty, and James states it this way in verse chapter 2, verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. It says, if you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The golden rule in its positive form is, do to others as you would have them do to you. It's the apex. It's the way we're supposed to guide out our lives. It's the centerpiece of the whole message of the gospel. The golden rule is a centerpiece. It's not just a nice thing we tell our kids. It's not something we just put on a bookmark to put in our Bibles. It's a standard. A standard is a measurement. The ethics of reciprocity also has a negative form, which actually is more commonly used than the positive. Some call it the silver rule. So we find in the negative, and we even quote this verse in the negative. We want to say people should not treat others in the way that they would not like to be treated. That's the negative. So you don't do bad stuff so that they won't do bad stuff to you. But that's not this verse. It is not doing something as opposed to doing something. So you have to do something in this verse. So what do you got to do? You got to love them. We find variations of this rule in numerous old cultures. Ancient Egyptian rule, sometimes selfishly motivated, says, do for one who may do for you, that you may cause him to do that. So, you do it so you can get something back. That's not the golden rule. You're not treating somebody. It's kind of like we do something for a rich person, hoping that they'll put us in their will. Nope, wrong motivation. God's looking at the heart, okay? Ancient Greece offered several variations. It said, do not do to your neighbor what you would take ill from him. Okay? Or avoid doing what you would blame others for doing. Or what, another one was, what you do not want to happen to you, do not do it yourself either. Another Greek one is, do not do to others what would anger you if done to you by others. And finally, a Greek one is, what you would avoid suffering for yourself, seek not to impress on others. You see how we twist it just a little bit, and we have all kinds of variations? And it's not a negative, it's a positive. Rome put it like this. Expect from others what you did to them. It is not so, as you might believe, that one is made happy through the unhappiness of others. So, what are they saying? They're all twisting it just a little bit. And it's a measurement that they're putting out there for you to live by. And it's all living in the negative. Jesus didn't use any of those. He used it in the positive. What did he say? Verse 12, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophet. Wow. I want to treat you with love and kindness. I want to be patient with you, forgive you. I want to see you grow in the Spirit. Why do I do all that? Because that's what I want you to give me to. Okay? And where did I get all those standards from? The Sermon on the Mount, verse chapter 5 and chapter 6. Now chapter 7 is, this is how you apply it. And this is how you're going to be judged. How you are going to be judged. How you apply His Word. I like St. Francis of Assisi, don't you? He said in one text is, really kind of cool here. He says it's about kind of like the golden rule. He says, Lord, it's a prayer. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Let me sow those things in those dark areas of the people's lives around me. Then he prays, oh, Master, O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born into eternal life. Amen.